and Malcolm X, the black nationalist spokesman, and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. were both leaders of the 60s, which leader did you follow, considering that they both were different?
The leader that I most followed and that I admired most was Malcolm X. Well, before I get on Malcolm X, let me tell you about Dr. Martin Luther King. Each individual had their own special ways of doing things in that way. Martin Luther King was nonviolent, which means you can be spit on, kicked on, or slapped around and say, "Yes, sir, God gonna save you." But Malcolm X, his philosophy was that you do to me, I'm gonna do to you. And back then, you know, a lot of black people was afraid of that because they knew some things were gonna happen. But Malcolm X, to me, I think I like his philosophy better because if you do unto me, I'm gonna do unto you. You fight fire, and I do it right back to you. Then people would start listen. I mean, they would listen up to you. But Dr. Martin Luther King had something. We lost a lot of people behind Dr. Martin Luther King, but I understand the cause and the people willing to sacrifice their life for Dr. King, and it was good, but, you know, a lot of life was lost, and, you know, that's what happened.
Tell me about the March on Washington and about Dr. Martin Luther King.
The March on Washington, D.C., by Dr. Martin Luther King, was one of the largest of this kind in the world. I mean, the whole world saw it. His speech was, wow, it was electrifying. I mean, I wasn't there, but hey, I saw it on television. And the tone, I mean, so many people, black, right, black, white, you know, it was shocking to see so many people all in one place. And, like I said before, Dr. King, he had the power, but like I said before, Malcolm X was the person that I admired most. But Dr. King, he did it his way, and Malcolm X doing it his way back then.
So you felt Dr. King was heard? Was he heard well from his march on Washington? Did he get his point across?
Dr. King got his point across very well. People listened to him. And the main reason was that he wanted the whole world to see the injustice of black people and what we had to go through in order to live in this world, all the United States of America, for our rights. We weren't here on our own free will. We brought here. So, you know, he pointed that out. I mean, he probably didn't say it in the way that I just said it, but that was the main reason.
How did the 54-mile march from Selma to Montgomery, Alabama, for black voting rights in Selma turn out?
It turned out well at times. You know, it was a very hot day, and you know, they had National Guards and stuff out. I wasn't there, but you know, I hear old people talking about it, older than me, in between, you know, they were talking about it and stuff, so I really can't say it, but I think it turned out pretty good from my point of view of listening to them.
Do you think that there was too many lives taken because of the civil rights movement?
Well, I think, yes, I do. Due to the reason, we sacrifice a lot in order to try to gain something. But, like I said before, Malcolm X just had a way, I think, you know, not saying that he's a miracle. It's just the fact that he totally believed in you do unto me, I'm going to do unto you. And the way how Dr. King went was the nonviolent approach we lost lives, a lot of lives that way, and it was expected. We got the rights, but we lost too many lives.
Do you feel it was worth it?
Well, everything is worth it, you know, but life is important too. So those people that lost their lives, I guess it was worth it to them to lose their lives for their rights. And to this day, we still have rights that we don't have, which means it's undercover, put it that way.
Okay, February 21st, 1965, Malcolm X was murdered. Do you think he was murdered? Excuse me. Why do you think he was murdered?
Well, why do I think he was murdered was, that's a good question. One reason he was murdered, I think, was because he voiced his opinion about a lot of things. I guess the way the paper was saying back then that he was getting too much, too powerful. He left the Muslim group and started his own thing. So, you know, it was a lot of jealousy there. And, you know, people didn't, that he left didn't like it. So it was something that just happened. And to this day, they still don't know who were the main cause of it.
Do you think it was the nation of Islam, the government, or any enemy?
Well, he had a lot of enemies and stuff. The nation of Islam didn't like him because they assumed he gained too much power. The government didn't like him because they thought he was a militant. And other people didn't like him because he was just outspoken. You know, what I mean by other people, other white people. And like, he just tell them like it is. And, you know, there's some new people that wanted him dead, but I can't say who he is because I really don't know.
Who do you feel did it?
Like I said before, to me, it would have to be between the government, the Nation of Islam, some other group probably did. But my strong feeling is that it had to be the government.
Why do you feel the government wanted him dead?
The reason I feel that way is because of he was outspoken. He can get a crowd up. And they looked at him as a ruthless black man with a lot of power, and that he didn't care how he got his rights or what he said to offend people. He just said, and that was that.
Tell me about Thurgood Marshall.
Thurgood Marshall was one of the first black Supreme Court justice that we have ever had. And he did a lot for us. A lot of bills passed because of him. And he just was a good person. A lot of people didn't know that because the man is, you know, he do things very quietly. But as they say, you do things quietly, you have a big stick. So he did things quietly with his big stick.
How did the white people accept Thurgood Marshall?
They, you know, that's a good question. A lot of them, you know, they look at, well, he's just going to be sitting on the benches, but he'll have no say-so. But that changed. Because a lot of things had to, the votes could tilt it either way, it depended on him. So he had a lot of success in that regard too. A lot of white people didn't like him, but they had to accept it because he was appointed by the President of the United States.
Okay, how was President Johnson back then as president?
Well, I was younger, but President Johnson back then, President, was sort of like, he wasn't as strong as Kennedy was. He was a little weak in ways. He didn't really know how to grasp people. You know, get their attention by things that affect the nation, like Kennedy did. And, you know, like I said, he took over after the assassination, so people were still upset because of Kennedy was gone and really didn't have a leader to turn to until he took over.
Let me ease your mind a little bit. Tell me about sports back then. How are the sports?
Sports back then was good. You know, like, we had a lot of black baseball players coming up back then. Jackie Robinson was the first one to beat the color barrier into baseball. We had numerous great black athletes back then.
Who was the best basketball team back then?
Oh, the best basketball team back then, if I can remember, was the New York Knickerbockers.
Knickerbockers?
Yes. Right now they call the New York Knicks, you know, but they were the Knickerbockers.
Who was the star of that team?
They had Willie Reed. He was the main star of that team. People like that, Willie Reed, Walt Frazier, Earl Pearl. To me, that was the great team.
Okay, do you remember the fight between Joe Frazier and Muhammad Ali?
Oh, yes, I do. And we're addressing that question. Joe Frazier, he and Muhammad Ali were good friends. A lot of people didn't know that. They were good friends. But when they stepped in that ring to face one another, they let it all hang out. Because they went there for one reason, to win. And it was a good fight. They had three fights. All on the very good.
Who won the fight? It was three fights?
Yes. Muhammad Ali won one of them, and Joe Frazier won two, but one of them went 15 rounds. I mean, both of them were just totally exhausted. One didn't want to come out the corner. The other one didn't want to come out the corner, so, you know, they finally came out the corner, and the way I saw it, I mean, they just was slugging it, and when they finished, both of them had to go to the hospital, each chair.
What were your favorite TV shows back in the late 60s, 70s?
My best and funniest TV show back then was, I can't remember, the one with the fat guy, always talking. His name, Lucy was one of them, I know that much. And the other one was The Honeymooners, that's right. Love that one. But that guy was so funny. Jack and Lisa.
What was your favorite song?
My favorite song back then I love Hello Dolly. With Armstrong. He was singing, so I said that one was pretty nice. I liked that one better. That's my oldest one. The other one was I can't remember. Now you caught my call, I'm gonna have to look that up.